You ready to get into the Word? All right, I want you to turn with me to Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 19. Amen. We're going to review just a little bit from where we were last week. And the Lord just began to impress upon me that there's a lot of people that are talking about success in life and success in this and, the word success and have your best life now and all those things. And God wants us to be successful because in Joshua, the first chapter, verse 8, he gives Joshua kind of the principle of how you can be successful. Listen, God wants you to be successful. How many of you would agree to me that Jesus was a very successful man? Amen. In everything that he did. And then when we look in the book of Acts, we see people there that also were very successful in serving God and in every arena, every area of life. And what you and I need to understand is exactly how do we walk in success to be pleasing to God? Because there's a way to have success but not be pleasing to God. There's a way to have success and literally grieve the Holy Spirit of God. What we want to do is we want to have the success that Jesus had in his life, because the Bible says we're being conformed into the image of God. In 1 John, it tells us that we are to walk. That word walk means to live. We are to live even as Jesus lived. And if we will live the way he lived, then we will be extremely successful in our life. It doesn't mean that we won't have troubles, adversity, trials, attacks of the enemy, but we will be successful in life. And that's what God wants. And as you're successful in your life, regardless of where you are, and when I say this, I'm not talking about being a multi-millionaire. I mean, if God gives you the gift, because that is a gift in Romans 12th chapter, it is a gift. If God gives you that gift of entrepreneurship, praise God. But not all of us have that. Many of us work in different areas, different vocations, different places, and it's where God places the members in the body as it pleases him. In other words, there are, in some teaching, you would see people getting out of the will of God to go after material things. See, if the Bible says God places the members in the body as it pleases him. And if he's placed you to teach high school or elementary school, to be light there, and that's where he's placed you, or he's placed you in the military, or he's placed you driving a truck, or he's placed you managing or supervising somewhere, overseeing something, wherever you are, you're there. Your vocation is not your identity. And your vocation is not, it is really not your purpose. Your purpose in wherever you work, whatever you do, is to be God's representative on that job. And you are to be a great representative. You're to be an ambassador. You are light and you are salt in that position and in that place to bring glory and honor to God. So when you and I got born again, when we talk about being positioned for success, you can't have any better position than to be in Christ Jesus. And here's what it says in Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 19. It says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to his working mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also the one to come. He put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body." Jesus is the head. We are the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And then in chapter 2 of verse 4, listen to this. "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." That is amazing to me. That spiritually speaking, this is where you are positioned. You cannot be in any higher position in the universe. And notice that it said that we're in Christ and all principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, everything is underneath his feet and we are his body. So whatever you face, whatever is coming your way that is coming from the kingdom of darkness, any trial, adversity, or anything, the position you start with that circumstance and that issue or that report, you start automatically above it. You're above it. Matter of fact, you're not under any circumstances. Circumstances are there, but you're actually above the circumstances in Christ Jesus. That's who you are, and you're seated there with authority. So in other words, when circumstances and things come, Jesus doesn't sit there and freak out. I had no idea that was going to happen. Boy, that really caught me off guard. Oh, gosh, this is a big one. No. Through his word and through his authority, he knows exactly how you and I need to act. He knows exactly what we need to say. So now watch this. We are now his body. We are on the earth. Spiritually, we're seated in a place of authority. So we are now carrying out the commandments and the will of God on this earth as his body, as his representative, as Jesus did when he was on the earth. He said, I have not come to do my will, I've come to do the will of my Father. We are here not to live for our will, but to live for his will. And my will must come into agreement and harmony with his will. That equals success. That equals that wherever I go and whatever I do, I am his representative. You just don't come to church and represent him here and then leave and go in the world and act the way that we used to act. That's not the way. We act totally, completely different. We're to act the way Jesus would act, the way Jesus walked and lived. We are to do the same identical thing. How is that possible? Because the Bible tells us in Philippians, Philippians, the first chapter, it tells us that now Jesus is living on the inside of us to will and to do his good pleasure. To will and to do his good pleasure. God lives on us to will and to do his good pleasure. So therefore, what I've got to do is submit myself every single day, in every situation, no matter where I'm at, I submit myself to God. I submit myself to his will. Because listen, every day of your life has been ordered. Every day of your life was written. Psalms 139, verse 16. Every day of your life was written before you ever lived one of them. And then when the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit knows exactly what's been written. And so therefore, as I go, I can rely on the Holy Spirit to tell me what I need to know. Remember, Jesus hath been made unto you wisdom. And then God said in the book of James, if any lack wisdom, let him ask. And I will give to you liberally. I won't make fun of you. Because people, we say this all the time. I know this is a dumb question. There is no question that is dumb. Every question helps you to grow. Every question helps you to learn in every area of your life. So listen to this in Psalms 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Are ordered by the Lord. The Bible says in Psalms 139, verse 16, it says, all the days of my life were written in your book and fashioned for me before I ever lived one of them. So, and then it's up to me to come into agreement with the will of God that I would fulfill the will of God. But see, I have a will. God will not force me to take the steps that he wants me to take. If I want to, I can take my own steps. I can go right out of the will of God. That's the reason he made us free. He wanted us to love him. And the Bible says those who obey me are those who love me. The Bible said that. Pastor Al didn't say that. The Bible says that. So he says this. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, and the word fall there means to fail or come up short. Though at times I may fail and make mistakes, even though at times I may come up short of what I thought or what God told me to do, the Bible says this, even though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Why? Because the Bible says God will not leave me nor forsake us. Every one of us in this room, every one of us watching, every single person has failed at times. Every single one of us have come up short at times. Oh, gosh, why did I do that? Because we're in a learning process. We're in a process of sanctification. It is a process. I was sanctified. I was made holy by the Spirit of God. I am being sanctified through the process of the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit and renewing my mind to the Word of God to live for the will of God. And then comes the day that when Jesus comes back or I'll be in heaven, I am totally sanctified because I have a glorified body. So he said, and watch this, he said, he will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young. I don't like the next statement. I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to leave that. I have been young. Mr. Henry, you go ahead and say that. I have been young and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. Praise God. Praise God. I mean, I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging for bread. I've used this so many times when Tava and I didn't have anything but Vienna sausage to eat. And I'll never forget the time I looked. I mean, we just had a can of that. That was just about it. You know, and we were just believing God. We were giving our tithe. We were just praying. We were believing God. And I said, God, you said in your word that you have not seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. So, Lord, I thank you for feeding us. He said, what do you have in your hand? I said, it's a Vienna sausage. He said, are you being fed? I said, yes, sir. He said, there's a difference, son, in having your need met and your desires. And I said, well, you said you give me my desires according to your... And he said, what do you desire? Something other than Vienna sausage. This is amazing. The next day... This guy, because Tave and I were both in Bible school, the next day, this guy invited us out to lunch. He did. He just said, hey, I just feel in my heart that I want to take y'all to lunch. You want to go to lunch? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes. Where do y'all want to go? It doesn't matter as long as it's not someplace that serves Vienna sausage. Any place that you want to go. And you know what? That's the cool thing about God. You know, he said, see, I can do this. But Tave and I, through that whole time, we learned how to be thankful for what we had. And to this day, we are extremely thankful because we remember our beginnings. So it says, I'm not singing the descendants begging for bread. So here's what. God, now listen to this, because this is what we learned last week. God orders your steps, but you have to position yourself in order to fulfill that which he's ordering for you, and then you've got to start stepping. You've got to have action. So now watch this. So how do you position yourself to determine all of your successes or to walk successfully? According to the Word of God, according to the Bible. How many of you want to be successful in every area of your life? Every area of your life. Amen? We do. Some of you don't, but it's okay. You'll get on this later. Anyway, God wants us to be success. Why does he want, listen to me, why does he want you to be successful? Because without you being successful, you can't help other people. If you're not successful in every area of your life, how are you going to teach other people? How are you going to share and talk to other people about what God has done for you? If you're not successful, you're not going to be able to minister and to help other people. That's the reason poverty is a lie. It is a curse of the law in Deuteronomy 28. Because when you're in poverty, you can't help nobody. You're looking for everybody to help you. And God says, that's a curse of the law. I want to bless you so that you can be a blessing. That's Abraham's blessings. And we are the seed of Abraham. Amen. But our concentration is not what I can just get for myself. My concentration is, God, thank you for blessing me so that I can be a blessing. That's got to be your attitude. That's the way you've got to think. And in that way, God can trust you because your heart and your attitude at that point is right in alignment with his will. Okay, you want to be successful, right? All right, let's look at 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verse 6. 1 Peter, the 1st chapter, verse 6. I'm going to take my time through this. I probably won't get through, but the one point. I got 6 points. This is the first one. And it's, matter of fact, as far as I'm concerned, it's the biggest one. Now, this is after you've been born again. Right above, have you found that? 1 Peter, right above, go right up top at the very last of verse 5, and it says this: God resists the proud, but he gives grace to who? To the humble. Then it says, therefore. And when there's, I've told you this, when there is a therefore, you find out what it's there for. Okay? You find out, okay, it comes after, therefore, because God does resist, he opposes the proud. Pride. Arrogance. He opposes the proud. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood through the world. And then he goes on to say, but may the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. The first thing that God says, and let me preface this before I say it. The reason that some people are trying to bind the devil in circumstances and issues in their life is they're trying to do it out of the wrong heart and motive. In other words, if I have pride in my life, you can bind all day long, and the devil is still going to beat you up. He's still going to kill, steal, and destroy in your life. And you can call on God and you can pray to God all day long. But the Bible says if I'm operating in pride, if I've got pride in my life, God, listen to this, God loves me, but God is opposed to me as long as my heart is a heart of pride. Are you seeing this? See, that's what it says in the Bible. I didn't write that. God wrote it. Okay, so it says, knowing that God opposes prideful, arrogant people, he says, therefore, humble yourself. Get your attitude, get your heart, get your will in alignment with God first and foremost. And when you are operating in humility everything else in this scripture will fall in place. And when you stand and rebuke the devil, believe me, he will leave. Okay? So watch this. When I was writing this out, God dropped this in my heart. Because here's what I was doing. I said, Lord, I've heard so many people try to explain humility. But humility to me, I said, Lord, is so simple. And all of a sudden, here's what dropped in my heart. And I wrote this down. Humility is motivated by love, inspired by grace, demonstrated through obedience, and victorious in faith. Humility is basically this. It is my will being totally submitted to the will of the Father, to the will of His Word. Humility is that I will take my will and I will submit it underneath and bow to the will of God. See, even Jesus was facing that in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember what he said? He said, Father, is there any other way that we can do this? Is there any other way I can get out of this? Some of us, we want to get out of trial. We all do. We want to get out of a trial. We want to get out of adversity. We want to give out anything and everything that we can. And we don't want it to be overnight. I mean, we want it to end overnight. We don't want it to be long and drawn out. And yet at the same time, I've got to realize that there are going to be things in my life that are not just going to disappear overnight. That I'm going to have to fight the fight of faith. That I am going to have to stand when I've done all to stand. I'm going to have to stand and keep standing and keep praising and keep believing God. And so humility is my will becoming subservient to the will of the Father and to His Word and to Jesus and to the Holy Spirit. Knowing that the devil has been defeated, but the biggest struggle that you and I have is not necessarily the devil, it's our flesh. And the Bible, this body that we live in, our five senses, the way we've been educated, the way we think about ourselves or see ourselves. And so what I've got to do is I've got to, in every situation, in everything that I do, I've got to make sure that my will is submitted to the will of the Father. So Jesus said this in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Father, is there any other way we can do this without going to the cross? And of course, the answer was no. And he knew that. And so he comes back and he says, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And he submitted to that will. And let me just say this. Anytime you submit to the will of the Father and it looks like the devil has won, you just got to realize Sunday's coming. You've got to realize that whatever death that I go through, there will be a resurrection. So no wonder the Apostle Paul said this. He said, I die daily. What am I dying to? I'm dying to my self-will to submit my will to the will of the Father on a daily basis. And in doing that, that is the beginning and the start of success. It's not only the beginning and the start of success, it is the beginning and the start of walking a very powerful, meaningful life. And in doing that, there are joys and blessings and satisfactions that you can't get from the world. You can't get from any other place. So humility is motivated by love. And I'll never forget this. I said, Lord, why did you give me that first? And he said, because love never fails. First Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Love never fails. And then in 1 Corinthians 13, he actually is talking about all the gifts and everything that he's given to the church. And he makes this statement. He said, you can have all those things. He said, man, you can have faith to move mountains. You can prophesy. You can speak in tongues. You can have money that you give away to everybody. But he said, if it's not love, he said, in my eyes, it's nothing. It's nothing. And the reason that it's nothing is because when I do things to be seen of other people, when I do things to receive reputation and recognition, that I do it for that, I haven't died enough. I've still got some flesh that is reigning and ruling in my life. But let me just say this. There's not a one of us, because this flesh wants to be recognized. This flesh does not want to serve. It wants to be served. This flesh wants its own way. And this flesh that we live in, the Bible says, this is not born again. I'm born again inside. And my flesh is operated according to the way I've been educated. So I have to re-educate myself according to the will of God. I've got to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I can't live and be conformed any longer to this world, because if I do, that's out of the will of God. I'm going to be very frustrated. I'm going to fight against the things of the flesh, and I'm not going to be satisfied. The joys are not going to be there. It's important that I understand that this flesh has got to be subservient to my spirit man, and my mind has to be renewed so that I will know what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So that when my spirit man is guiding me and directing me in a certain place, my mind's going to come into agreement with that. And with my mind in agreement with the will of God and with the Holy Spirit, my flesh will not rule me and dominate me. So humility is motivated by love. Because the Bible says, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. It is inspired by grace. It is inspired by grace. And that's more than just the undeserved, incredible favor of God. Even though it is, God gives us what we did not deserve. He gives it to us because that's who He is. But grace is more than that. Grace teaches us, and grace empowers us to be able to live the life that God has called us to live, which is in the Word. See, when you, like the fast that we're doing right now, your flesh will rebel against that. I mean, your flesh on the second day or third day, your flesh would say, as soon as you wake up, I want a combo number one, and I want to upsize the fries. No, you're going to eat broccoli. I don't want to eat broccoli. I know I'm just talking to myself. But that's where you have got to get to the place that your flesh comes under. I die daily. And this is where you got to understand that the grace, listen to this, the Bible says there's the spirit of grace. How can grace teach us? The Bible says we have a teacher living on the inside of us, and that teacher is the Spirit of God. He is the Holy Spirit of God. And like I said, there's a scripture in the Bible where it says, talks about the spirit of grace. He is the spirit of grace. He empowers us to be able to live the life that God calls us to live. And let me just say this about grace, because there's so many different versions of grace being taught today. Any grace that teaches you to go out and enjoy the things of this world that will lead you into sin is not the grace of God. Any grace that teaches you that you can live any lifestyle, any way you want to live, is not the grace of God. Any grace that teaches you that you can have a boyfriend, a girlfriend, and you can have sex and shack up and live together, that is not the grace of God. Any grace that teaches you that if you've come out of a certain lifestyle, a perverted lifestyle in any way, shape, or form, and you think you can get saved and still live in that lifestyle, that is not the grace of God. It is not. Let me tell you what the grace of God teaches us. Thank God for the grace. We're saved by grace through faith. Amen. It's not our works, but listen to this. Titus, the second chapter, verse 11 through 14. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible. For the remarkable, undeserved grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us, grace teaches us to reject ungodliness and worldly, immoral desires. Any desire that comes up in my heart, and believe me, your flesh, this flesh that is fallen, this flesh can have all kinds of impulses, it can have all kinds of desires, okay? And the more that you allow your eyes to look at things that you know you shouldn't be looking at and gaze upon them, you know what that's going to do? That's going to inflame your flesh. It's going to empower your flesh. Okay, the things that you hear, you allow yourself to hear, whether it's music, TV, whatever it is, that will cause you to act in certain ways. It can stir you up. Things that you can hear can stir up anger. Sometimes it's a good anger, and sometimes it's a bad anger. So you've got to realize that there are things that come across our lives, people that we come in contact with. You know, if you're a young person and you make a decision that you're going to go somewhere with your boyfriend or girlfriend and you're going to start making out, you're going to, man, you talk about firing the burner. There's going to be fire. There's going to, and actually that will turn into lust. And sometimes you find yourself in a position that you don't want to be in. And that's how so many women have been raped. They've given in and given over to some desires, and then somebody gets in a position and place that is much stronger than they are, and they force their will upon them. But see, if we would listen to the Word of God, I wouldn't be in that position to start with. Listen. To all of our singles, God's got a person for you. He's got a person for you. He's got somebody for you. I had to wait 33 years for it. I was born again at 22, and I had to wait 11 years for God to get me all the way to Texas to get me to Teva. And I said many times to the Lord, why couldn't you bring her here 10 years earlier? I didn't get an answer to that. But that's where, during that time, and the reason, one of the reasons I'm standing here today is during that time, I took this time to fall in love with Jesus. I took this time to learn who Jesus was. I took this time to get into the Word of God. I took this time to get involved with serving in the church that I was going to and meeting other people. You know, so many people come to a church like this a lot of times and say, well, there's just so many people. Well, you know what the Bible says in Proverbs? It says, he who desires to have friends must make himself friendly. Just like the singles, they're going someplace. Well, I don't know, because they may not accept me. I don't know what they'll think about me. You need to get your mind renewed. That's the reason we have discipleship classes. You're going to have fun. People are going to accept you. Well, they don't know who I am. All they want to know is your name. Your past is forgiven. Let's move on into the future. I don't know who I said that to, but that's not in my notes. Okay, listen to this. Listen to this very carefully. For the remarkable undeserved grace of God that brings salvation appeared to all men, it teaches us to reject all ungodliness. It doesn't mean that I'm mean. It just means basically what I did after I got saved with my friends. I'm not going to the bars anymore. I never forget when a friend of mine asked me this. He said, "Why don't you cuss anymore?" And I said, "You know what? I hadn't thought about it." I said, "Because I got saved, because Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. I don't want to hear about your Jesus. I don't want to hear about your Lord. I'm going to beat you up." And that was viable because I hung around a bunch of big guys, big football players. Amen? And the reason I did that is because when we went out somewhere, I could pick a fight. You pick it and then you step back. I'm just telling you a little bit about my past. So, thank God I got born again. So, now I'll pick fights with the devil. Amen. And so it teaches us to reject ungodliness. It doesn't mean to be mean. It means that you answer somebody, speak the truth in love. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't try to hide Jesus. So it says this. It says, it teaches us to reject ungodliness, worldly, immoral desires, and to live sensible, upright, and godly lives, lives with a purpose that reflects spiritual maturity in this present age, awaiting and confidently expecting the fulfillment of our blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who willingly gave himself to be crucified on our behalf to redeem us and purchase our freedom from all wickedness and to purify for himself a chosen and very special people to be his own possession. You are chosen by God. You are loved by God. You are accepted by God. And we run around trying to get all of those things from other people. Now, God brings people in our lives to love us and accept us, but it's got to be people of like faith. You witness like I did. You witness to your friends. You witness to people who don't know about Jesus, but you don't run with them anymore. You don't hang with them anymore. Why? Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, chapter verse 33, bad company corrupts good character. It corrupts good habits. You can't run with the same folks and expect that you're going to live the way God wants you to live. He wants you to be the light. He doesn't want you to be a pawn in somebody else's hands. He wants you to be representative of his son and his daughter to this whole world, to everybody here in Fayetteville and wherever you live. Yeah, people will laugh at you and make fun at you and mock you. That goes along with it. That's like people joining the army just to get an education and then find out that somebody's shooting at me. Why are they shooting at me? I just want to get an education. That's all I. Why are they shooting me? Somebody trying to kill me. That's real stuff. I didn't sign up for this. Yes, you did. Evidently, you didn't read the fine print. You didn't understand the oath that you took. Amen? It's the same thing about being born again. Well, I just thought I was just going to get blessed. I didn't know all this stuff is going to happen. And man, this is crazy. That's the world we're living in. But we're born again. We're redeemed. We're purchased. We're sanctified by God to be a difference in this world. And you can't be a difference by being like you were before you got saved or kind of being like a chameleon and just kind of blending in with people and don't know you're a Christian. That's not the way God set it up. He said to purify himself, a chosen and very special people to be his own possession who were enthusiastic, watch this, for doing what is good. Enthusiastic for doing what is good. I am enthusiastic about doing the will of God. Do I miss it at times? Yes, but I'm enthusiastic. The older I get, the more mature I become in the Lord, as I grew in the Lord, less and less and less did I miss him. But I had to develop my relationship with him also. With four kids that we had when they were all very, very young, I had to develop times that I had to spend time with him. I still enjoyed watching football, basketball, and things like that. But most important was my developing my time to spend with him and spend in his word. And this is long before I was a pastor. But that is something that is, you don't just do on Sunday morning. This is something that we develop in our lives as a regular routine. It's got to be the best habit that you ever in your life develop. And you can develop it because you have the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you to do it. And so many times we forget that. Holy Spirit, help me. I mean, there was times that when I started getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and because I was a late night person, when I started doing that, I would get in, I'd start reading and fell asleep. I'd fall asleep all the time. I mean, and then I condemned myself through the whole day. And then I got wise. I realized my flesh does not like to be hurt. Okay, so what I did is I went into the bathroom, sat on the side of the bathtub, and started reading. And I said to my flesh, if you fall asleep, you will hit your head and you are going to be in pain. And I don't want to do that. Holy Spirit, please help me that I don't fall asleep and fall in this bathtub and hurt myself. And that was the beginning of me staying awake. I used to go in, pour hot, cold water all in me. I had my coffee and everything. And then, but I developed that habit. And I still have it today, almost 50 years later. I still have it today. Are there times that sometimes that I'm so tired I sleep through? Yes, absolutely. I don't beat myself up. When I miss a day, when I sleep in or something, and I miss a day and I get in my car and I have my prayer time and I move forward, I don't condemn myself because I talk to God all day long. I love it what they said about Smith Wigglesworth. They said, man, with all that power, you must be a man that prays all the time. You must pray 5, 6, or 7 hours. He said, no. He said, I don't pray more than 30 minutes. And they said, what? What do you mean you don't pray more than 30 minutes? He said, I don't pray more than 30 minutes, but 30 minutes doesn't go by without me praying. In other words, what he said was this. He said, I'm constantly having conversation with God. And that's what prayer is. It's constantly having conversation with God. But listen to me, folks. Humility. Humility is me, my will coming into obedience to God's will every day, every second, every minute, every hour, no matter what comes my way, I'm going to submit my will to God. No matter what it costs me, I will submit my will to God. I will humble myself under the mighty hand of God. When I do that, the result of that is absolutely joy, satisfaction, and blessing. And not only that, listen to the next statement, power. The release of power of the Holy Spirit when I walk in humility. Can you say amen? Amen? Would you bow your heads for just a moment? I want to give you an opportunity that if you've never received Jesus as the Lord of your life, and what I just said was this, if you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, if you humble your will to submit to the will of the Father, in other words, you say, I totally surrender my life 100% to the God who created me. The Bible says he's your heavenly Father. He's got a plan, he's got a purpose for your life. But the thing is, we must have our sin forgiven. It was forgiven on the day on the cross. He became sin for all of us. But I have to recognize that, and I must confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. If I want his life, I want forgiveness, I want the family of God, I want to come in to what God has for me in my life, I must submit myself to the will of the Father. And the will of the Father is for you to be saved, for not one person to go to hell. Not one person. He didn't create hell for human beings. He created it for the devil and all the angels that disobeyed him and rebelled against him. But if I stay in my sin, if I stay in my lifestyle, if I stay living that which is opposite of God, when I die, I will be separated from God forever. And I will go into a place, and it has a name. It's called hell. God doesn't want us there. God wants us in heaven with him. But he wants us to be his representatives right now and to be a blessing in our life. Maybe you say, Pastor, I knew the Lord one time, but I've gotten away from him. I've strayed, I've backslidden, I've totally gotten away from him. And I don't know if God will even talk to me. I don't even, God will forgive me. The answer is yes, he will. That's the reason you're here today, is you're here today because God wants you right back into alignment. He wants you back into fellowship. But to do that, you must repent of your sin. And when you do, God is faithful. He will forgive you and cleanse you from all your sin. I'm going to pray. And if you say, Pastor, that's me. I need to be saved. I need to be forgiven. I need to get into fellowship with God. I need Jesus in my life. If that's you, just raise your hand and say, Pastor, I want to be in that prayer. I want to be in that prayer this morning. Thank you. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Pastor, that's me. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else say, Pastor, that's me. Anybody else say, Pastor, that's me. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Yes, thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else? Before I pray, I'm getting ready to pray. Anybody else? Before we pray. All right, we're going to pray. All of you that raise your hands, I want you to pray this out loud with all of us. We're going to pray with you. Pray this with us. Father God, I thank you today for your love for me. I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is your Son, that he died on the cross, you raised him from the dead, and Jesus Christ is Lord, Savior, King of Kings. Today I repent of all my sin, and I ask your forgiveness in the name of Jesus. And this day, right now, this moment, and forever, I surrender my will. I surrender my heart. I surrender my life to you completely and totally. And I confess Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. Thank you, Father, for saving me and forgiving me and giving me a brand new life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Come on, put your hands together. Come on, let's stand up if you would and give God a praise. Hallelujah. Thank you. We welcome you into the kingdom of God this morning.